Welcome to Keeping It Real's podcast, where we believe in real hope, real love, and a real God. We pray that this message encourages you and builds your faith. Now here's Pastor Reggie Green III.
I want to challenge our church from this day forward to when you come into the house of God, I think there's an importance, and I was thinking about the rain and thinking about, people making a point, to get to church, to get into the house of God, that's powerful. That there's something in that. There's something that when you, especially in the world that we live in today, and we're going to get into this a little bit, that it's important for us to, especially in a world that we live with all the distractions and everything that we face, especially being in the United States, that how many know it takes a little bit of work to get into the presence of God. It takes a little fight, and you got to scrap for it. It's not simple. It's not like we live in the middle of nowhere in which we don't have much to do on the weekdays or weekends, and we got a lot going on. And so I think there's a special grace that God gives us and an ability to press in and to move past the distractions, which I want to talk about a little today. But I want us to look at Luke chapter 10. If you can turn there, you can swipe there. Luke chapter 10, we're going to read verses 38 to 41. And I'm not going to be long today because I do want us to get back into a heart of worship. And I want us to close out our year with that mindset. And I want you to just close your eyes before we get into this. I want you to just think today. If you close your eyes with me, think about how good God has been to you. Just put your mind on that. A lot of times, keep your eyes closed. We can come into the house of God and we have so much on our minds. We have so much going on. And sometimes we come into the house of God and we feel guilty as dirt, and which you should. Repent if you have to and you need to. But I want you to think about how good God has been to you. Think about where he's brought you from. All the miracles he's done for you. Think about where you would have been if it wasn't for Jesus. And just think about that. Think about what he's done for you, the opportunities. Think about the mess that he's helping you get through or has helped you get through. Think about that moment in which he came at the right time, the right moment of your life. It may not be everything perfect today, but maybe you can think about who you would have been if Jesus hadn't come into your life. You can open your eyes. I mean, that to me, I think that's the mindset that we should have daily. That we should think about and put and meditate on this, and because it's important that you and I focus on how we worship, how we give our, and I say it like this. I say, because a lot of times when, in order, you really are going to praise God when you realize how much he's done for you. You'll really step into a whole new, if that becomes your heart, if you remind yourself of how good God has been to you, because that's how it starts. Right? The Bible says it's not that we loved God, it's that he first loved us. And so it's important that as we are learning to worship, and I think about this, you don't have to teach, I don't think, really somebody to know how to worship God. All you have to really show and us come to a realization is what God has done for you and the miracle and the fact that he's died for us while we were still sinners. That'll teach you alone when it's that revelation. And so I want to challenge you today that as you come into the house of God, as you're in your relationship with God, that you would take some time every day to thank God and to remind yourself of how good he's been to you. Think about all the doors he's opened. Think about how faithful he has been to you. And that'll definitely shape how you begin to worship God. So don't want you to forget that. Add that to your weapons. Add that is remind yourself. And God would do different things for the people of Israel, and he would have them build an altar. He would have them do this or do that, and it would always be as a reminder for what God has done for them. How many know you got to have reminders of what God has done for you? It helps you get through difficult seasons in your life. Because a lot of times we think, man, God, this is not going to work, and this and that. But remind yourself of how God got you through back then. Because God is still the same. He hasn't changed. He hasn't shifted. And so remind yourself of his goodness. But let's look at Luke chapter 10. And I want to look at this. Some of us know the story, but I want us to look at some things tonight. In Luke chapter 10, verse 38, verse 41, the Bible says that as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And she came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself?" And he says, and she says, "Tell her to help me." In verse 41, it says, "Martha, Martha," I'm sorry, I think it cut off, one moment. All right, there we go. Luke chapter 10, there, here we go. Verse 41, sorry about that. Okay, let's go again. Verse 30, it says, "As Jesus and his disciples were on the way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he had said." Verse 40 says, "But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me.'" In verse 41, it says, "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." We had Pastor Coney come. I don't know if you guys were, some of you might have been here, hopefully you were here on Sunday, and he was a missionary from Africa. And that night on Saturday, I was able to sit and, you know, have dinner and just really pick his mind because, you know, about everything that was going on in Africa, the ministry he was doing there. And a lot of times the big question that people have, and because a lot of times if you've been around church long enough, you may have seen it, a lot of times what you see happen in third world countries with the gospel is like completely different than what you see in the United States. You can look up videos, look at like the miracles, or look at revivals in Africa or in these third world countries, and it just seems like, wow. And a lot of times the question that people have is, why doesn't that happen here in the United States? You know, when you see people, you know, the miracles happening, and you see thousands and thousands of people just getting touched by God, you're kind of like, man, what's going on over there that's different from here? And so, of course, I had to ask him that question because he worked in, and he's a part of those things in Africa, and he shares half his time over there and half his time in the United States. And the interesting thing he said, it was so simple and I think so true. He said, because in the United States, he's like, we're distracted. And he says that is such an important thing. He says, because break down your day. He said, look at it, think about it. He's like, we're busy here. He's like, how much for you, you know, right? He's like, as a preacher, how much of the time in your day do you spend with God? Just based on your schedule. And I was like, well, I try to, you know, at least 30 minutes, 40 minutes in the morning before I start my day. And he was interesting. He says, because the difference over there is that people, they're not distracted. And so their attention is 100% on God. And he said, over there, it's different. He brought this up because we've taught on this before. And we taught about it was in Matthew, and it was Jesus preaching the Sermon on the Mount. And we talked about this and about how Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Right? Blessed are the poor in spirit. And he had broke it down. He brought this revelation out, which was quite interesting. He says that what the scripture is saying there, he's like, is that it's not just poor in the sense like just being poor. He says the thing that it's talking about is being beggarly poor. Is being like in that straight poverty where you don't know where your meal's gonna come from. It's not like what we have here, and you have, you know, a lot of times the home is you have places to go and places, you know, to go eat and shelter for the night. And so he said, the deal is that what Jesus is saying is, blessed are those that in your spirit you're beggarly poor. Like you're at this place where it's not just you know that you need the Lord. You know you need Jesus. You know you got to have a touch from him. You got to have a relationship from him. But without him, you'll die. And he says, that's how it is over there. He says, people, literally, it's not like what we have here. We can go to the doctors. We have insurance. We have different things like that. He says, over there, living for Jesus is life or death. Excuse me. Because you got to believe in his healing, because you can't just go to a doctor. You can't just go to these different clinics and different things like that. There's no free health care. It's like, if you're sick, you're sick. And so it's life or death. And so that got my mind thinking about where we're at today. I mean, the busyness of life and things that we've got to deal with and come and go. And we're not living in Africa. We're not living in these places in the sense where we just have all this time in the world. Maybe you do. That's a blessing. Maybe you don't. But I want to challenge us today that we would press through distractions. And sometimes it's not so much the busyness of life as much as it's the distractions going on in our mind. And I began to look at it, I was like, man, I think our biggest distractions here are not, and we do are busy from, you know, 8 to 5, 9 to 5, our schedules, and we got things to do. But I think one of the busiest places we are at, more than our time in the day, is in here. Is in here. Because we live in the United States. We live in a fast-paced world. We have things to do. You have kids to raise. You have jobs to work. You have school. You have education. You have to get these things done in order to move forward or in order to make bread. And right, and pray. We got to do these things. But I believe for us, the distractions that we've got to work through and press through is in our mind. Because we can miss out on what God has for us simply by the hustle and bustle, the confusion, the distractions that go on up here. And if we're not careful and we don't take time to link up and to slow down in our thinking, to slow down and stop going from here to here and trying to figure this out and figure that out and try to do this and do that, we will miss out on what God has for us. Because God understands, and here's the interesting, is that I was looking into this, that when Jesus says, Martha, Martha, it's a sign of affection. He says it to Simon, Simon, right? He said to Peter. He says it for Paul, he says to Saul before he became Paul. He says, Saul, Saul, twice. And so the idea behind him saying the name twice is basically a sign of affection. So he's not coming to Martha and saying, Martha, Martha, what's your deal, woman? He's not saying that. He's saying in an affection way, he's saying, Martha, Martha. And I believe that the same way that God said, man, I understand you got a lot to do. You've got a lot going on in your life. You've got a lot going on in your mind. There's a lot of things that you are trying to figure out, but he makes a point to her. He says, look, your sister Mary, she has found there's only one thing. And I love how he says it. In verse 41, here we go. And I love how he words it to her because he reminds her, he says, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. And that break that scriptures down because I think sometimes in our lives we are consumed with a lot of things. He says, you're worried and upset about many things. Sometimes we could be worried and upset in our mind about a lot of things that we just don't need to be mad and upset about. And that's why, you know, when he says in Matthew, I believe it was chapter 6, and he says, that's why he tells the people, why are you worried about things? Why are you worried about what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear? He says, don't you know that your heavenly Father knows that you need these things, right? And so he says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry, but right, seek the kingdom of God and everything else, in his kingdom and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. Because what he's letting them know, he's saying, look, you're worried, you're unfocused on things that I've already got taken care of. He says, don't worry, don't focus, don't. And a lot of times we're caught up in a lot of things that we don't need to be caught up with. There's a lot of nonsense. There's a lot of stuff that God is like, I already got that taken care of. There's a lot of things that his word has already said, don't worry about, but we allow to keep worrying about. And so he says that, look, there are, I like how he says it. He says, but there are a few things are needed. And then he's like, wait, hold on. No, indeed, there's only one thing that you need. And he says, Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. And so in our mind, in our thinking, you and I have to get our priorities right. We have to get our mind right. That we would allow, that again, we would put God first, that we would press through these distractions. Because I don't know about you, I want to see God move in my life like his word reveals it. I'm not satisfied on just how it is now. I'm like, God, I want you to move in my church. I want you to move in this city. I want you to move in my lives and my friends' lives and my church. I want you to move like your word says. And so my task is to help us and is to go forward and saying, God, what does it take to get you to move like that in our lives? What does it take you for you to move, to do the miracles, to do the impossible, to do what only you can do? And I believe that one of them tonight is that we have to get pressed through these distractions. And we've got to make way and make room and allow God to have that proper place in our lives. And I can't change the busyness of life because we got things to do, but I know what we can work on is in how we think. And that's why it's important. I want to challenge us as a church that when we come together on Wednesdays, that we would come to God and we would lay our distraction at his feet, because I believe that God can move on our Wednesday service. He can move on our Sunday services. He can move in the time when you spend with God. He can move in your day as you're going to work because you've made time for him and he can have his space. And so I want to challenge you. So that distraction, so that he says, she's focused on one thing. She has found one thing. And God was moved. He says, you cannot take that away from her. And so when we allow, when we remove the distractions and asking God, and I think prayerfully saying to God, saying, Lord, what am I being distracted with that's just messing with my mind? What am I focused on I don't need to focus on? I've been practicing that this week, I'll be honest with you, and it's been a challenge, but it's been helpful because I've realized there was a whole lot of junk going in my mind that I didn't need to worry about because God's word said this about it, or you know what, I can't change that. I'm going to focus and put my attention on you. I'm going to put my sights on you because I want you to move. I don't want to be distracted. I don't want to miss out on what you're saying, on what you're speaking. Anybody like that today? And so I believe if you do this and you remove the distractions, you'll see God speak to you. You're going to hear God's voice. You're going to hear God's voice. The other thing about this is that Martha was busy moving. And so it's important in your walk with God, you realize how Jesus' demeanor throughout his whole life, his demeanor was never move fast, move quick. Got to be here, got to be there. He took his time. In the storm, the Bible said he was sleeping on a pillow at the bottom of the boat while everyone's freaking out. Lord, don't you care about us? And what's going on? He was calm. He was even paced. And so it's important for us as well that as part of not getting distracted is that you and I slow down a little bit. That you slow down. Because if you keep moving, God may be telling you to make a left and make a right and maybe change up here, but because you're moving, you missed the spot. You know, you've been like that, you're just moving so fast, you're like, oh man, you missed the exit. You're not even thinking, it's like, dang, man, you got to reverse and go all the way around and get on the next exit and it just ruins your day. Because either we're distracted or number two, we're moving so fast. And I'll tell you this, God is, he's all about patience. You know, I think one of the things that I learned about God is that he's not predictable. And in a frustrating way, he's not consistent in the sense of how I think he should be consistent. He's consistent in his faithfulness and his love. But every time, God is always doing something different in my life. I think that this is the, and he's, how many know what I'm talking about? Like, there's always this, like, he's, God is a patient God. Back in the day, we used to have this band. I don't know, maybe some of you remember it. We called it Kairos. It was like, it lasted like 3 weekends. And it was a Christian band that me and a couple of friends, I think Sammy remembers it. But the whole idea behind Kairos was God's timing. And you have Kronos, which was man's time, right? Our watch time, and we have 24 hours, you know, in a day and all that stuff like that. But then you have God's time that's not restricted or not confined to 24 hours in a day. And so something that's frustrating for us because we have a date and a time that we want God to move, right? You need to move tonight at 9 p.m. You know, we give him a date and time. We have a certain, you know, by 30, 35, and 40, and so on. God, you're going to do this in my life. But God doesn't work like that. He moves in the right time, the perfect time, perfect opportunity. And so that leads me to my next point. So number one, you got to get rid of the distractions. Ask God, speak to him, say, Lord, what are the distractions that I need to get rid of that are just making me lose sight of who I am, what you've called me to do? It's causing me to miss out on my purpose and my destiny. What are those distractions? God will reveal them to you, I promise. Number two is that you slow down. Take some time, slow down. Slow down, stop worrying about the future. Stop worrying about these things that you can't control and slow down. Take a time, take a moment. Spend some time with God out of your days. I gotta slow down a little bit. I gotta get away. You know, my favorite spot in college was going into the bathroom because it was so busy. And I'll tell you, God showed up in that nasty old bathroom, but it's the time I had where I can get away and God spoke. And so slow down. The last thing I wanna look at is as you're doing these things and you're trying to get sensitive to God's voice, and is that I titled this, I like this next part is, you might have heard it, stay in your lane. Bethel says stay in your pocket. You stay And I'm going to read this scripture. You got to stay where God is going to bless you. Let me read this scripture to you. Acts chapter 17, verse 26 to 27, Paul writes these words. He says, "From one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands." Listen to that. He says, "From one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history." Isn't that interesting? You know that about your life, that God marked you and we were birthed in a particular time? Did you know that? Look at the scriptures. This is powerful. If you understand what Paul's writing here, he says, and he marked out their appointed times. You weren't born in the 30s. We weren't born in the 20s. You might have been born in the 60s, maybe 50s. Yeah, we were born in a specific time. That was God's purpose, his plan. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this, listen to this, so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out to him and find him, though he is not far from every one of us. And so what's saying here is that there's a marked time that God has for you and I. We were born a specific day, we will die a specific day. And in this point in our history, and as we are living, that there's a moment that God, boom, comes into our life. And some people respond, some people don't. I believe that we've all responded some way to God tonight. And he says he does this so that they would reach out to him. There's boundaries that God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find them, and though he is not far from every one of us. And so you got to understand this about life, that God has placed us, and this is going to tie into this, that God has put a boundary around you, that there are specific places in your life that God has for you so that he can bless you. There are specific seasons in your life that God has you in. And this is important because a lot of times we don't like a particular position or season that we're in, and we try to fight our way out. But the other thing we have to be careful with that is because many times we can fight our way out of a place where God wants us to be. Does that make sense? We can fight our way, get our way out of a place that God has intended for us to be in. Why? So that he can teach you something. So that he could bless you in a place. And I've learned this about God, that he does this. I was talking to Gerson about this, was that I've been in a place in my life in which I know I stepped out of his season, and I paid a price, even though God was faithful. Because, I mean, we talked about, remember, his grace being sufficient, that he helps us get through those bad mistakes and bad decisions. And I've been in a place where I may not have necessarily liked it too much, but it's where God had me, and it was in that place that God opened the doors and he began to bless. So this is the whole thing, what Martha was doing. Mary was in that position at the feet of Jesus, being where she needed to be. And Martha, the distraction the one who was distracted, the one who was busy, was trying to get Mary out of the position. Remember, she tells Jesus, "You tell her to come and help me." And so this is what we got to be careful of about distraction. Distraction and about being too busy and going too fast is that it can pull you out of where God wants you to be. Does that make sense? It can take you out of that place that God has you. Because we're distracted. Oh, I got to do this. I got to do that. And God is saying, be still. I'm going to bless you right here. I've got you right here because I'm trying to teach you something. Stop trying to fight your way out. You're so worried, you're so consumed on the next step and the next thing that you don't give time and you don't allow God to do everything that he needs to do in your life right here. And I guarantee you, God will let you know when you've got to go on to the next step. God will make it clear to you. If I could be honest, I look back, I was like, man, all the things that I tried to do never worked out. But the minute that God did it and he did it, it was amazing. And I was like, man, why did he would have been like in that place before? It's like, if I would have just let him do his thing, I would have been cool. But now I got to work through all this mess because I try to do my own thing. God's grace is sufficient. It'll help me get through the mistakes. It'll be a little painful at times, but God is good. And so you and I have to be careful of that because we have to stay in our lane. We have to stay in our pocket. We have to stay in those boundaries. And when you're distracted and you're moving so quick, you don't see what those boundaries are. And so it's important to see, God, where's the place? What are my limits? I'm going to break it down like this. I'm going to tell you how many times I have tried to jump outside of my calling that God has called me, right, to be a preacher. I've tried so many things. Some of you know my story. I've tried so many things to get out and to bounce out and to be out. But this, and one thing I've realized, that God has always shut the door. There are certain things and desires that I have, personal things that I'm like, man, and examples like this. I'll give you an example. I work now in Santa Monica at UCLA. I love what I do. It's amazing. I love it. And as I'm out there, it's a little commute, I'm driving, I'm like, man, God, what would it like to be to live out in Santa Monica? This is just my experience. I'm in Santa Monica, and I'm thinking about, man, I always wanted a studio, you know, iRobot. You ever seen the movie iRobot? Dang, all right, there's a movie, there's a scene, he has this nice little loft up there. I've always dreamed of having that. And so I'm like, man, I could do a loft out here. This would be awesome. I finally be in the city. I've always wanted to live in the city, you know, and I'm just driving. And I'm like, man, how could I do this? What could I do? I know I can make some big money out here. And just, man, and I'm thinking I'm getting my, and I felt checked. And I felt, this is my personal thing. It's like, guys, like, I didn't bring you out here so you can live out here. You know, this is my personal experience. He said, I brought you out here so I can get you out of that old place and do something different over here. Don't get ahead of yourself. And I'm like, I'm no lie, I just felt that in my heart. It's like, I didn't bring you out here so you can dream about living out here. And I was like, dang. And I was like, okay, Lord. And it was a whole week battle, but then finally I got it and understood it. Those are boundaries. And that's a boundary where God is like, nah, that's a little too far. And it's interesting that within the place that I'm in, it's like where God's going to bless. And the same, every time I've tried to get out of that, it's like, nope, 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 nope. But if you want to do it within the boundaries, you can do it. I always had a dream about, like, I'm no lie. I said, man, I want to go to get my master's at USC. I'm just speaking real and see how it works. I want to get my master's at USC. But I said, man, going to USC is a lot of money, plus it's out there in LA. I can't do that, right? But God opened the door so I can do my master's at CSUN. It's in my, does that make sense? It's in my boundary. And I felt God speaking that. He says, you can do anything that you want within your boundaries. Stop trying to jump out of your boundaries. And so I say that because there are boundaries that God has for us. And I want to challenge you to begin to speak to God about that. Lord, where do you want me to be? Where, you know, and it's not like it's every step. Like, should I make a left here, make a right here and go that and like that. But I'm just saying to at least give it up to him. And say, Lord, I got boundaries that you, I know you, your word tells me that you've placed me and so I could reach out to you. And I've reached out to you and there's a place that you want to speak to me. Where are my boundaries at? Because I want to stay in the place where you're speaking to me. Is anybody like that today? I want to be like Mary, where I'm at the feet of Jesus and I want him speaking to me. I don't want to be distracted by things I don't need to be distracted about. I don't want to go so fast that I miss what God is trying to say. I want to be at his feet. I want to be at his, right, in peace, experience his calmness. Because that's where it comes. Is that when you're at his feet, you get what he has. And I always say this, you change in the presence of God. And so when you're in his presence, you get his peace. When you're in his presence, you get his joy. When you're in his presence, you get his direction and insight. And just because it takes time, just because you might have to wait there a little bit, don't get distracted. Don't get caught up with the noise. Let God speak to you. And I'll close with this scripture. I ask the worship team to come. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1, if you read Habakkuk chapter 1, in Habakkuk chapter 1, Habakkuk the prophet is speaking to God, and he's speaking to him. He has some complaints. You should read it. He's talking to him on a real deal. He has some complaints on his heart. And it's interesting that after he's like, God, this and that, I don't know what's going on, boom, 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 he's saying all these things. In chapter 2, verse 1, he says this. He says, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. He says, I will look to see, but I love this. He says, I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. And I love this because here's Habakkuk. He has a whole bunch of questions for God. He doesn't like the position that maybe his people are in and that he's in. But instead of trying to fight his way, he says, you know what? I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to guard this wall. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. I'm going to stay in this position, and I'm going to wait for him to speak to me. And God, in chapter 2, responds to him, gives him some direction, and that's where, if you know the scripture, he says, right, I want you to write the vision down, right, write it down, so that my people will not perish, so they'll run with it, right? And so that's when he begins to give them that word. I want to encourage you with that scripture because I think it's important that we would function in that matter. That as we are waiting, as we are speaking to God, we may have some complaints about the place that we're in, that we're careful not to get distracted, we're careful not to move so fast that we miss it, and that we're like Habakkuk and we say, you know what, I'm going to stay in my lane. I'm going to stay in the pocket. God, I'm not going to be quick to get up out of this. And we talked about that a couple weeks ago about his grace. A lot of times we pray, get me out of this, get me out of this, get me out of this. When God's response to Paul was, my grace is sufficient for you, right? He didn't get him up out of it. He says, my grace is sufficient. And so this is where it ties in, is we're in that place, man. We're trying to figure it out. We're working it out. God, where are my boundaries, man? I won't get distracted. And we're saying, Lord, I have some things on my heart, but I'm going to stay put. I'm going to do what you've called me to do. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to work it. I'm going to stay focused. I'm going to press through. And God will speak to you. God will give you some insight. And then we'll begin to work on our distractions. And at least here at Keeping It Real Church, that is one thing that will not hinder us from experiencing the presence of God like we know we can, like we already have. But there's much more that God wants to do. And so I want us to be a church today, to be a people that part of us that marks our character, that marks us as believers and as Christians, is that we are people that we wait on God, that we know what it's like to stay in our lane, that we know what it's like to be patient, to trust God and not be distracted by the things in this world, because there are so many distractions. But we are people that contend, we fight, we press through, we make it a point to connect with our Father in heaven, to stay in the place. I like to stay in the place of grace, you know, to stay in that zone, to stay in that moment where God wants us to be. Because when God moves, his Kairos time, he moves and he opens the door. And when he opens the door, it's always more than we've ever thought, imagined, or could believe. Amen. Come on, let's all stand today. I want you to think about, as you're going this week, maybe be prayerful about what God is doing in your life. Begin to ask God about if there's distractions in your life, if there's things, take some time. I'm telling you, it's a work. I'm of the believer that sometimes, you know, take a day off to do it. I am serious on that. You know, sometimes, man, it's okay. You know, I don't recommend it, but I had a dean, and I respected him because I worked for him, and he says, sometimes you got to take mental health days, and I always loved that. It's like, yeah, you know what? I'm not sick physically. I'm sick mentally, and I got to take a day off. That's just, you know, don't do that. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just telling you to take some time and speak to God about maybe there's some distractions. Take some time, and just it's important to say, Lord, is there things on my life, there's things on my mind that are just worthless, that aren't making any sense, that are just tripping me up? And take some time alone, you know, try to at least give you a good hour or something like that, and work that out between you and God. Say, God, what is it? Maybe you're fighting against the boundaries and you've been trying to get out and trying to get out. And maybe God's speaking today, say, you know what, just hold on, hold on. Just be patient. I've got a word for you. I'm going to speak to you, but just, you know, like Habakkuk, just stay where you're at and do what you're supposed to do. I'm coming. I got a word. I got a miracle. I got some open doors for you, but just stay faithful to me. And we do that, we'll develop something. You got to develop these things. And it's how we mature. It's how we grow. You can become sensitive to the voice of God. Doesn't mean that God speaks to you on a daily basis. There's some people that he could do that with. But you can become sensitive. You can become attentive to what he's doing. And it'll look different for everybody. Some people say, man, I really felt God speak to me. Some others say, man, it was just something in my spirit, in my heart. But I just knew, you know. And you become sensitive to what God's doing in your life. And some of you have already experienced it. Some of you, it's still brand new. But I'm telling you, this is how it helps. Just remove the distractions. Make some time with God. He'll speak to you. So I want us to just worship God. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing. We're going to worship God with our heart. With our heart. Remind yourself of how good he's been to you. Remind yourself. Maybe your question is like, man, God feels like he's been a little distant lately. He hasn't been distant. Just remind yourself of those moments when he was close to you. He hasn't switched up. He still loves. He still cares. He still got a plan. He still got a purpose. He still got destiny. Come on, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this night. Father, I thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, help us to overcome these distractions. I pray that we would be like Mary and that we would station ourselves at your feet and we would listen to what you're speaking to us. God, I pray that we wouldn't be so busy and move so quickly that we miss out on your direction. Teach us to understand, where are our boundaries in life? Where's the place that you've called us to? And help us to be like Habakkuk, in which we are patiently waiting, hearing your voice, doing what we are supposed to do. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how you love us, for the plans and the purpose. God, we want it all for our church. We want it all for our lives and our families. And we pray that, God, as we are going forward, that you would pour out your spirit like never before upon us. That you would speak to us. You'd move on lives. You'd cause people to repent, cause them to come to salvation. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for all that you are. And so we're going to worship you. We're going to thank you for how good you've been to us. We're going to worship you today just so that we can be reminded of your grace and your mercy, how you saved us when we were sinners, how you loved us before we even loved you. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's begin to praise our Father today. Lord, we
thank you. Thank you for tuning into this week's message. We hope that you were encouraged and inspired. For more information about our church, visit kirchurch.com or follow us on Instagram at kirchurch.